Blog Talk Radio.
Song by the Silvers. You know, they were doing their thing way back, way before I even came to California. They were just little ones, and doing this amazing music. And one of the things about the Silvers that I know that is amazing is that their vocal ability is just, it's hard to compare that with anyone, because they have a vocal sound like no other. There's something about family harmonies that are very special and very unique, and they had that thing at very they were born. As a matter of fact, I posted an interview that Leon Silvers did the other day, and I saw it yesterday for the first time, and I thought, wow, what a great interview. And Leon had said that, you know, they said, well, what's the biggest gift to music for you. Something like this is my own version of the question. And Leon said the gift that we all got was our parents. So it was something about the parents that gave them these vocals. They were born with these abilities to harmonize and to sing the way that they did. And it was just absolutely, that was a wonderful answer. I was so proud of him. But as both of his parents are gone now, but it was just a wonderful answer, humbling answer, and loving. And I was just, I was like, man, that was good, Leon. I was so proud. And so, but anyway, you know, I want to say hello to all of our friends around the world. Thank you for tuning in to Solar Records Radio today. Every Friday on Solar Records Radio, we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles records. And, you know, the Silvers were doing their thing way before Solar started. And so with that being said, I want to bring on a family member from the Silvers, their cousin. And this, he was also our manager in Dynasty. And so, but he's also an amazing athlete for USC. He was a running back or a fullback. We'll find out in a second, before O.J. Simpson. So I want to bring him on. Oh, and one last thing about him that's amazing is that he trains horses. He loves horses, and y'all know that that's right after my own heart. So anyway, we're going to bring on right now onto the show, Mr. T-Ray. What's up, T?
Hello, hello. How you doing, Wardell?
Oh, man. So T-Ray.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, man, it's so nice to have you, man. And, you know, T-Ray came over to my house in the beach. And he showed, his hand had, both hands had these big, giant rings. How many rings do you have, T-Ray? Championship rings.
Approximately 12.
Oh.
I have.
That's
ridiculous. I know you probably said, well, how'd you do that? Not all were national championships. I've had those as a player at USC. And also as administrator and coach under Coach Carroll at USC. I also coached high school, Crenshaw High School. We took a city championship, and I was co-head coach with Coach Garrett at Crenshaw. I was head coach at Fairfax High School. I was also head coach at Fremont High School, and I made the rounds. I coached at several junior colleges, such as West LA, Southwest, Santa Monica, Pasadena, et cetera. And so I've just done quite a few things in my life.
Absolutely, man. So you are one of those guys that, you know, we talk all the time. He's a very good friend of mine. And so I thought, you know, I need to bring him on because – he was, like I said, he was our manager. He's our road manager, Dynasty's road manager. He made sure we got up and got going. And I'm not sure if, yeah, I think you, did you do anything with Shalimar? Did you help them too? Because we all were on the same bus. And I know they had their road manager also, but you were like kind of like on the right there all the time, like in everybody's face. So
when it came to Shalimar, Lakeside, Whispers, and all that, I would get with some of the roadies and some of the road managers, and we would talk when they weren't available or when they had to do certain things. I would help out, such as the bus rides and getting people together and just calling up people. I would also help with their eating habits and training, those types of things I would help with. During shows, sometimes I would help with setting up some of the instruments and you know, just getting people to be on time and do what's necessary.
Yeah, so, and he was a good boss. He was he was kind of a good bully. You know, he would do it in a nice way, and we all respected him because of that, because he would do it in such a nice way and make sure, okay guys, you know, it wasn't like, hey, get up and get going, let's get 1, 2, 3. He wasn't doing it like a soldier. He was doing it like a brother, you know, like, okay guys, you know, we got to get going, we got to get there, we got. And so we all appreciated him and respected him because of that. I want to just back up. Huh? Go ahead, D.
During that time, because of my background in sports, you can say that music and sports are pretty much alike. And there are long hours that you have to spend in honing your craft. As a musician and also as a ball player. And a lot of times it takes hours and hours. You have to get up early in order to practice a lot of times. And as far as studying is concerned, and it's the same way with practicing for a show. You have to get up early sometimes. Sometimes you have to stay late. It all depends, but it is definitely related to each other. And so I just put those two together and came out with a formula, and it worked pretty good.
Yes. Well, I just saw something. We were in the studio a few years ago. Every time I go into California, we get together and try to do something. And this particular time, we're in the studio, and I'm about to post this picture of T-Ray. We were in the studio hanging out and writing some songs and stuff. And Leon and Kevin Spencer, Ricky Freeze, and T-Ray and myself, and we were standing there. And we took this picture with Leon. Okay, so there's Leon, T-Ray, myself, and Ricky Freeze. And then Kevin Spencer is right behind Leon. And Mark Pilpart is right behind, right next to Kevin. And so it was this great you know, get together. I'm trying to multitask, so excuse me. All right, now I just posted it. So I posted that for my team because they do things. So, but anyway, so they'll get it and they'll see. Because I want everyone to see who T-Ray is, who this person is that we're talking to. So T-Ray, you being the cousin of Leon Silvers, and tell us a story about, you know, just, you know, being with these guys. And, you know, is there anything that comes to your mind that you think about that you would like to share with us in regards to being with the Silvers as young people? Bro, like in shock, came out with these beautiful kids, these beautiful afros and beautiful voices and, you know, and great songs. And so, but you were behind the scenes with them. So why don't you tell us a story about your relationship with your family?
Okay. The thing about the Silvers is, like you had mentioned, having great parents, and that was one of the things that definitely launched them. The father, Sonny, that's what we called him. He was pretty much a very, very intelligent man. He got a scholarship to University of Notre Dame. And, you know, back in that time, it wasn't too many black people that were going to any of the universities and all. And so that's how smart he was. And he was also gifted as far as music was concerned. The mother, Shirley Silvers, she was very, very talented singing, and she played piano also. And she probably could have become a concert pianist if she hadn't had so many babies.
Wow. How many babies did she have? How many? It's about 10, right?
10, I think. 11.
10 or, yeah, it was up there.
Yeah. 11, you know, you have to go back and you have to count.
Yeah, you had to go back and count again,
getting into the story, and there are so many, but I'll just say,
tell me this one.
She was, they started out, and they were called the Little Angels. And so they were on different shows, Danny Thomas and Groucho Marx and a few game shows and all that. But when I started taking them around, they were like junior high school and high school. And we would all pile up in my 400 Firebird. That's what I had at the time. And
Firebird.
You can imagine it was. Yes, it was a two-seater in front, Pontiac Firebird, two-seater in front, and you could fit comfortably three in the back. But, of course, there were six or seven or whatever it was. And so we pushed and squirmed and got in that Firebird, and we went to Capitol Records and just went around to different places seeing what was available and who wanted them as singers and all. The Ms. Silvers, a lot of times she would stay home, especially if it had to do with practicing or something like that, because she was taking care of some of the other babies. And if she couldn't get a babysitter or something like that, then she would stay home. But for the most part, she was with us. And it worked out pretty good, but there were some hilarious times when the Phil was just hanging out the car, and we would go different places and do what we needed to do as far as practices were concerned, and that's pretty much how they got started with Capitol Records. They finally signed with Capitol Records, and their careers were launched after
wow.
that.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you knowing, were you like an older cousin, younger cousin in the middle? Are you
older?
So
older,
you're the
older cousin.
So you're the older cousin.
Older
so
cousin by far.
Okay, so you're more protective over them. I see that with Leon, and he was our boss, and I could see how protective you are over him. So but it's a beautiful thing to see, you know, because Leon will come off like he's everybody's boss, and pretty much he is, but. You know, he comes out that way, but, you know, he has someone who loves him more than he's the boss. And that's you.
Yes.
Right? It's like, dude.
Yes.
Right? And also.
And being. Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Okay. And being the older person, that helps. Now, if I had been a little younger or something like that and hadn't been streetwise and all, that probably wouldn't have worked out. But being family, having done what I did and all of that, there's a lot of respect for him. I had a lot of respect, have a lot of respect for Leon, and he had a lot of respect for me. And we were always honest with each other, and it wouldn't be yes or boss or we're agreeing on everything. I would voice my opinion. He voiced his opinion about different things, and we go from there. And you know, they say blood is thicker than water and all that, and definitely that's the truth. All of us have to understand that we should try to take care of family as much as possible, our relatives. We spend years and years with each other, And we have to help each other out through thick and thin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, so see, I got to tell you, it's like you guys could hear how soft this man's voice is. But don't let that fool you, because he's if you see how strong he is, don't forget he's a football player. Did you, hold on, what position did you play, T-Ray?
I played wide receiver was my favorite position. I played defensive back also, and running back on occasion.
Yeah.
And,
okay. Wow.
I played through high school, and I went to a junior college. At that time, you couldn't play freshman. I mean, you couldn't play varsity if you went to a 4-year college. You could only play freshman ball, and they only played like 3 games or something like that. So they sent everybody to junior colleges. And one of the things I have to say to youngsters, don't stay in just one sport. You learn so much by, like I played football, played basketball, ran a little track, and I loved baseball. That was my first love and everything. But through the course of education and everything, the best recourse for me was to play football, because that's where they were giving the scholarships.
Okay. Yeah, well, just so you know, I ran track, mm-hmm. and I did the long jump. I did the low hurdles. I did the 220 relay and the 440 relay. The 440 relay and the 220. I was really fast, you know, those short guys, you know, mm-hmm. And so I was really fast, really quick. And so, but there was a couple of taller guys that were quicker than me, man. And I was like, whoa. So, anyway, and then I also did gymnastics. I was the captain of the gymnastic team. I did all around. So every piece of apparatus I was, you know, supposedly mm-hmm. good on, but, you know, the tumbling was my favorite as far as I was concerned. My coach loved me on the parallel bars. I did the high bar, and the worst for me was the horse. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. That horse was brutal. Well, it did not do anything to help you.
First of all, you have to jump up there. And second of all, if you miss, you're in trouble.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, you know, but the girls run into the dang thing. You know, at least the guys, we just kind of, we jump up there just to start, you know, and get going.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, man, oh man, I just want to say what an honor it is, you know, to have you on the show. But, you know, just for my
it's an honor to be on the show. I have something to say about your athletic prowess. When you were on the drums, I could just tell that. I said, "Hey, he's an athlete." I mean, you definitely yoked back then, and kind of yoked now, in muscles all over the place. But I was saying to myself, I know that he played sports or he did something. And when you mentioned gymnastics, that's one of the things that really helps you with your coordination and all and your strength. So that's pretty cool.
Yes, thank you very much. I appreciate that. That means a lot coming from you. So was there anything that Dynasty did that got on your nerves on the road? Come on, you can tell the truth. Did we stress you out? We did.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily stress because I was used to it. And also, when people are trying to get other people to do different things, they have to have a good understanding or a better understanding, because all the things that you were doing, would like to have done, but when you're in a certain position, you have to make sure that everyone is taking care of business and doing what they're supposed to do. There were times when there wasn't a curfew, but in actuality, you have to have a certain curfew when you're on the road and taking care of business. Being on time, little squabbles here and there that you didn't want to go into something larger or bigger or whatever and all. And that was pretty much it.
Okay. Yeah. You know, we really had a lot of fun as Dynasty. And, you know, for us, you know, we were really, really young. And do you remember when our bus caught on fire?
Oh, do I? It was snowing.
It was snowing.
And the bus caught on fire. We had
Indiana. Uh-huh. We were in Indiana.
Uh-huh.
We were in.
Go on.
Mm-mm. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We have a 5-second delay. I apologize.
Okay. Yeah, we were in Indiana. The bus caught on fire. I think I was riding with Grave Digger. That's what we call one of the limousine drivers. And we were ahead of you or something like that. And we came back because you had stopped. We checked it out and we came back and the bus was on fire. Thank God nothing seriously became of it. We had to leave the bus, ditch the bus, take all the equipment and clothes and different things off of it. And I think we got into another bus or into limos or whatever. What do you remember about it?
Well, I just remember how crazy it was that, you know, we were on our way to perform. And we shared, it was Dynasty and Shalimar together on this bus. And we, you know, we were just doing what we do. This was the second situation with our bus. The first situation happened when we were leaving California after the first gig and on our way to start the tour. And the driver backed into something and it messed up the heater core on the bus. And so as we're driving in the winter time, God, it was so cold on the bus. And so we're driving. And so we're in Texas, which is like about two days later. We're driving through Texas, you know, trying to get to our first gig in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And then the front right tire explodes. And we're going 70-80 miles an hour, and I was standing up on the bus holding the rails. I was like, oh my God, the bus, like, oh, we can raise it, flip over, we can raise it, flip over. And then, you know, but I didn't know, I didn't know, I should have sat down, but I didn't. I was just holding on like a T-Ray, you would understand this. I was holding on like I was doing an Iron Cross. Right, I was holding on, and so then finally the bus started slowing down, and I realized, okay, it's not going to flip. And then all of a sudden, we were just there, sitting. It was at night; it was dark, and it was cold, and we started the Grave Digger was our bus driver. His name, strange name, Grave Digger. Rest in peace, Grave Digger.
Yes.
And so he was our bus driver. And he called on the CB to tell them that the bus is down. And so all of a sudden the limos, because we have four limos for each group, the Whispers, Lakeside, Shalimar, and Dynasty. So we all had a limo. And so the limos started coming back because they needed to come and get us. We were just there. It was Dynasty and Shalimar. We were just sitting there. And so they came back and started taking so many people at a time. And eventually all of us were off the bus. And And so that was the first situation. That was the second one with the tires, because the first one was when he backed into. And so when we were out there and the bus caught on fire, Lord, we were like, we need some new buses, man.
When we started out, Wardell, I was saying, I think we need new buses. Before we even started
the trip. Yes, yes.
And transportation was always a challenge.
Yeah, yeah. And so, but, you know, Dick Griffey, of course, trying to save money. And so, but anyway, so we were out there. We had a great time. And so we finally got the fire out. You know, we were laughing and we went on. Excuse me. And we went on and did our show. But anyway.
It was definitely amazing. And, you know, the Lord, somebody was looking over us and looking after us, because there were a lot of incidents. There's a lot of different things that happen on the road that could be definite catastrophes, but we managed to get through a lot of it.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, man, so in closing, because I know you got a lot going on, so in closing, is there anything that comes to mind that you might want to share with us?
As far as working with the Silvers, my cousins, Dynasty, those were days that I will relish forever. They were interesting times. They were fun times. They were great experience, and you can't buy that. And the relationships that we've all had from that just has been lifelong, and I've really appreciated and enjoyed that time, and I'm still doing the same thing with you and my Leon and some of the rest of the groups.
Well, I want to thank you for continuing to take care of all of us. We do appreciate you, man, because you showing up and you're always there for whatever is going on. And it started way back in the 70s for me. And here you are, you know, when there's something that's happening, you're right there. So thank you for always taking care of us and making sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do and everyone's where they're supposed to be to make the events that we put together happen. So thank you for being our big brother and making things happen
thank
for us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
We love
much.
You and
we're
appreciate
like
you for that. Huh?
Love you too.
What'd
I
you
said
say,
we're
Jason?
Like family.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We are definitely like family. Yeah. Love you
absolutely.
Too.
All right.
And,
all right.
And the, okay.
Go ahead. Go.
You.
Say this. You can say what you want to say, Steve.
Yes. The work that you're doing, your podcast or show is just very enlightening to a lot of people. I've had different people. When I was on with Kevin Spencer and all, and I think it was Ricky Smith or whatever, but at any rate, there were a lot of people that called and say, I didn't know that those types of things happened in music. And you know, people just see the finished product, and they don't understand how you got there. Just like with athletics, they see the finished product on Saturday or Sunday or whenever it is when they're playing, but they don't understand what it takes to get out on that field or out on that stage. And it takes a lot of sacrifice and heart and a lot of work and effort.
Yes.
So thank you.
Okay. I have a question for you. I have a question for you from the listener. You sure you want me to ask you this question?
No. I don't want you to ask me because I may answer it.
Okay. Hold on. No. It's the question. The question is, I'm not It says, when does your book come out? When does your book come out? The Confession of the Road Manager.
Oh, my goodness. I will confess certain things, but other things, that's between me and the Lord.
Okay. So let us know when the book comes out, and we'll know the things that are not in there is not our business.
Amen.
Lord have mercy.
And it may be your business. But not other people.
Yeah, there you go. You're not going to be the one to tell, right? Yes,
no,
sir.
No.
All right, man. Well, thanks, T-Ray. Okay. God bless you, man.
Okay.
And really appreciate you. And come hang out with us anytime, all right?
I'll do that. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great evening. All right. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
All right, that was Mr. T-Ray, my brother from another mother, and just very proud of him. So, listen, let's get into the music, and we'll be back, and we'll get into what's going on.
You give my life, my mind. You were driving fast. coming.
That is beautiful. Wow, man. You know, I was around a lot of very talented people, and sometimes we don't realize, you know, who is, you know, what's really happening. We're so focused on what we're doing and so caught up in what we're doing that we're not paying attention to who is around us. and what's really going on around us. And so, you know, when I look back at some of the history of Solar, it was really amazing that there was so much talent coming at us all, coming out of that company, that little company that could and did. And, you know, I remember being frustrated at times, but you know what? When I look at it, I'm more grateful about even the moments that I was frustrated, because, you know, sometimes you don't really realize the magnitude of what's really going on is way bigger than you. It's way bigger than you. And, you know, there is some things that, you know, I had struggled with, you know, financially. You know, I'm like, wait a minute, where's my royalties? And, you know, but there's a lot of people that was, you know, to be paid, and a lot of people that had to work to make sure that you got your money, and just a lot of stuff going on inside there. And this is an intimate little thing that I'm sharing with you, because I never talk about this kind of stuff. But I just want you to know that it happens not just in Solar, but everywhere, you know, where the money gets a little funny sometimes, and you're worried and you're wondering and what's happening. And so it causes you to be very concerned. And I remember having those intense conversations, and what's going on, and why is it this like this, and where is this? But for the most part, you know, it's really about you doing your due diligence and making sure that the way that you can make sure that you get what you're supposed to get is to make sure you do your paperwork, so that you do get what you're supposed to get. Okay? So please, you know, it's really a sad thing to have to cry over spilt milk, because you can't change it. It's already done. Now, you know, you got to clean it up. Crying over this is not going to change the fact that it's spilt. And so what you can do is just protect yourself and make sure that everything is okay. And with this company, should have been and could have been so much bigger than it was, but it was a decision that was made to not go any further with what we were doing. And so be it. You know, history was made, and that's the way it goes. And so, but we did have a wonderful and amazing time at the time that we were doing it, and it was wonderful, and we were all going wherever we were going to go. I, you know, four of us, Dana Myers, Joey Gallo, William Zimmerman, and myself, Wardell Potts Jr., all left and went to A&M Records after, you know, I think that was like in 1985. So we had just, you know, we had been there since 79, 78, working it's Solar for 7 years, and then we moved on to another dimension, another, you know, adventure. And it was something, you know, that's how life is, and you just continue to move on and move on. And so when I look back at it, I can see it's different when you look back at it. And I look back at it and I go, wow, there was so much going on. There was so much talent, so many great musicians, so many nice people everywhere. The people that were inside the building, the office building of Solar Records, amazing people that were in there. Some people got sick and passed away, but they worked really hard to help Dick to accomplish his goal, because that was their jobs. Right. But we, because it's their job, that's what brought the people there. But when we all got together, we, you know, kind of fell for each other as human beings, you know, and it was nice to have these relationships that we were able to negotiate, you know, and decide if we want, you know, to hang out with this person or that person or whoever you decided you want to hang out with, you felt something very good about. And so it was a lot to select from. And so that made it wonderful. And so I will always be grateful for the opportunity to have met some amazing people. To Solar, I will always be grateful for that opportunity. And so I want to continue to play some great music from some of those people that I enjoyed hanging out with, like Steve Shockley, who Steve Shockley was a guitar player and the leader of Lakeside. And Steve played on a lot of records with us. He played on, when I say us, I'm talking about Dynasty, as the Throwdown Brothers, the guys that did, a lot of records and stuff outside of our own groups. We were doing them for other groups. And so Steve was one that Leon had pulled in to, he loved the way that he was, that he wrote and played. And so him, William Shelby, Kevin Spencer, obviously Leon Silvers, myself, and Richard Randolph, and Pepper Ernest Reed, and Ricky Smith, we all were in this space together. And, we would be in the studio all the time, just this group. And Dana Myers would come in to start writing melodies and lyrics and stuff. And it was just a really good space and place for all of us. And sometimes you don't realize what you have until it's gone. And I kind of wish that we could all just do that again. That would mean that my brothers that are gone wouldn't be gone, like William Shelby and Richard Randolph, Ernest Pepper Reed. So, but any Gene Dozier, who, did the strings and stuff, and just amazing guy. With that being said, let's get back to the music. We got about another hour in the show, and thanks to T-Ray for coming on, Leon's cousin, our road manager, Dynasty's road manager. We appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Let's roll on Solar Records Radio. wow, this music is really, it's something special, guys. It's really, it really is. And I, and it's not because I was involved in it, but it's because it is. And I, it just makes me feel good. Just like when I listen to the Motown stuff, it just makes me feel good. And so I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the music and stuff, the stuff that happened back in the day on with Solar Records. And that's why I do this show. That's why every week, every Friday, we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records, because it's deserving of it, because it did bless me. And when I have friends that tell me, you know, that they listen to the show, that they follow the show, and I didn't even know that they did. And I was like, wow, I didn't know you were following the show. Oh, yeah, man, I follow the show. I said, wow. So it, what a beautiful gift it is that the music that we gave to is now giving back to us, right? And so thank you for hanging out with us today. I want to thank once again T-Ray for calling in, Leon's cousin, his older cousin, actually, and our road, Dynasty's road manager. Thank you, bro. We appreciate you, man, and much love to you. So, you know, we got the holidays coming up, guys. I don't know if everybody in the world celebrates Thanksgiving, but it's a time when we just are grateful for, you know, everything that's happened in our life throughout this last year. And so I know that sounds kind of weird. Everything happened in our life, but just for the last year. Not just for the last year, but for the most part, in this last year, we thank God for blessing us through this year, helping us to get through this. A lot of stuff's going on. You know, COVID slowed down, and we lost some people, and, you know, we've gained some people. Babies were born, and, you know, family is still good, and we're grateful for that. Thank you for jobs, and thank you for friends, and loved ones. And so so we celebrate that here in the United States. And so in different countries, I guess you guys have other things or other ways that you celebrate. But if you celebrate Thanksgiving, thank you for, you know, hanging out with us. It's not about pilgrims and all that stuff. I mean, there was some stuff going that happened patriotically, but, you know, history is such a mess right now, and all the crazy things that's gone on, and I just don't even get caught up in it. I just try to be normal and just say, hey, I'm just grateful for my family. I'm grateful for God. I'm grateful for my friends. I'm grateful for the station. I'm grateful for the music. I'm grateful for my blessings. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for having great people that I can enjoy great music with. And so that's what I really do, and I focus on that. And I'm grateful for my amazing animals. And so, but anyway, thanks again, guys, for tuning in and hanging out with us. As we were talking to T-Ray earlier, Leon Silver's cousin, we want to play something from the Silvers, don't you think? So this is a song that I've fallen in love with. This is a song I play drums on, and I don't think I wrote it, but I did play drums on it for sure, and it's just a fun song to listen to. So this is a song that there's a couple of songs that I want to play. I'm looking at one of them was called I'm Taking Over, and that song was just like trying, you know, the Silvers saying they're going to do another album and they're coming back out, and There's a Place for Us also is another song that we did, and I love playing drums on this one too. So I'm going to play you two Silver songs back to back here on Solar Records Radio. So sit back and relax and enjoy this good music. This one is called There's a Place. All right, so here we are.
Yeah.
With my that was the Silvers. I played you two songs back to back of the Silvers because, you know, I just wanted to. And we had the, you know, nice interview with their cousin. And so anyway, but we got Don Fleming on the line. What's up, Don Fleming?
Hey, what's happening? What
He's
is
so
happening?
He is
I am
so
on the
crazy.
Road, as you can hear. But but no, man, I'm just calling in and listening to Court this Friday. And, you know, I love when you play those solar hits, man. You become
Yes, sir. Well, thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. How is
I'm
the
hoping
road?
To do a Friday takeover. Just letting you know.
A Friday takeover. Y'all better watch out. Don Fleming's up to something. Oh, man, a Friday takeover.
A Friday takeover of Solar Records celebrating the legacy. I'm gonna have to snatch your your number one seat on Fridays, man. I love the music you're playing, man. Keep it up, though. Seriously.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm reading stuff that's coming in.
I'm surprised people had questions for me, man. I was surprised the other day. Like, wow, who am I? Who am I?
You're Mr. Don Fleming. So I'm gonna read this. So this is the question. You can answer this maybe. It says, so the greatest talents from Solar, Leon Silvers, Babyface, L.A. Reid, as a collective. Hold on one second. Collective could have made Solar go into orbit bigger than Motown. Why didn't that happen, Don Fleming?
Why didn't happen? Or
why didn't it happen?
Why didn't it happen?
I mean,
you know what? You're the best person to answer that. I mean, for me, it's only, you know, but I appreciate you, you know, giving me that question. But let me say it from my standpoint as a fan, and you know, you always want to feel like it's, you know, it's in the conversation. I'm guessing the reason why it didn't, you know, go as far as from a mainstream standpoint as well as I guess the Motown is, you got to understand the cons. You know, I think, you know, in the 60s there was the apex of the Civil War, and you know, that sound of young America. And I mean, young Black America, you know. Can you hear me?
Losing it. Yeah, you just went out a little bit there.
No, basically, I was just basically saying that it was probably just the era, the timing, because in the 60s, you know, you had the whole Civil Rights era, and that music really just meant something. I'm not saying that, you know, Solar didn't, but at the time and the turmoil that was going on at the same time, you know, I think a lot of people use Motown as kind of like that muse, you know, as far as, you know, understanding what was going on at the time and whatnot. Solar, you know, going into the 80s, I mean, we had a cluster bang, for lack of a better word, of sounds. You had the Solar sound, you had the Hush sound, you had the Total Experience, you know, with the Gap Band, and you had the Minneapolis sound. So there was a lot of great avenues that branched from Motown, you know, Motown and Stax and Muscle Shoals. So, you know, we had a lot to choose from. And, you know, compared to Motown Records, I mean, it, you know, Motown to me was kind of like that seed that you planted. And, you know, Solar was, to me, is, you know, part of those roots. So once that grew. So I'm not going to say that, you know, it was any less. I'll just say, you know, because of the times, the era, it was basically at a time that it needed to be in that time, you know, in the 80s. But in the 60s, of course, Motown was right for its era. Solar was right for its era. So.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Don. I think that was a good assessment on your part. I also think that, you know, you have all of this talent, and if people could see where they were going before they got there, they probably, maybe they would have done what you had suggested. I'm talking about to the writer. You know, why didn't that happen? And maybe if they knew that it was just going to go the way that it did, maybe they would have thought of, you know, hey, but maybe we should do something so that doesn't happen. But Dick Griffey was really in charge of Solar, and so he was making all the decisions in regards to where it was going. Like Berry Gordy was in charge of Motown, and he was making the decisions. Like, he just picked Motown up out of Detroit and moved it to L.A. without even telling the musicians. That was just wow. And, you know, and to me,
yeah.
Once they got to L.A., it wasn't the same, because they lost the musicians that really captured the lyrical content and those songs. I mean, the music changed when he went to L.A., and it was hard that things weren't just quite the same anymore. You know, they did a few other hits and stuff because they still had some of the producers had moved there. And they continued to work there, but it just didn't have the same fire. And so the same thing with Solar, you know, we were having a great time. And so sometimes it's just that we just have to appreciate the moments, you know, just like, and this is a sad story, but just like with my little nephew, my little cousin, I mean, you know, we only got so many years to really have a lot of fun, and then he was gone. Like, what? You know, and I wonder, you know, I get frustrated about that. Like, why? And so there's, you know, things just happen. They happen for the reason that they happen for. And no one probably could have predicted that if Solar was going to take off or, you know, or do what it did and just disappear. And it did. It disappeared because Dick Griffey decided he wanted to do something else with his company. And so no one else had control over his decisions. He was the CEO, and he made his decision to do what he did. And so, but we're grateful for what he did do, right? And so how closely did Leon work with L.A. Reid and Babyface? I don't think they really worked closely at all. Leon Silvers was doing Leon Silvers, and L.A. and Baby Reid, they came in with their own thing. Well, you know, Babyface, they were in the deal, and so the deal was doing what the deal was doing, and they just happened to have great producers, two great producers inside that unit, and those guys just, you know, started. Dick was able to peep that and say, hey, you guys, can you do something on The Whispers for me? Can you do something on Dynasty for me? Can you do? And so they started working with other people, and they became, you know, these great producers. So that's, you know, how it went. Leon was so busy doing everybody else on other labels that there was no room for, you know, I mean, he needed to go and do what he did. And that was just the way it went. And he was hungry. He loved producing. That's his room of peace. That's his sanctuary, being in the studio and recording and creating great, you know, songs. So anyway, I think we did okay with the answer. I hope we did, because it's kind of a kind of a sad thing when you think about, like, wow, it could have been big. Yes, it could have been, but it just didn't. It didn't, because somebody made a decision to do something else. As a matter of fact, Dick actually did the, he went into distribution. So as opposed to being a record company, he was a distributor. And I don't know how long that lasts and if that was successful, but, you know, that was his choice. So anyway, I want to get back to the music. Don, anything else on your heart? We got 29 minutes left in the show. Don, are you there? Okay.
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm here.
Is there Is there anything else you'd like to say before we get back to the music?
No, man. You know, we got about, what, about 30 minutes, 29 minutes left of the show. So let's go on with some more solar music, man. You know, I'm excited though, every Friday. You know how I get.
Uh-oh, wet my whistle. Here we go, Midnight Star on Solar Records Radio.
Just what you real fine, baby. Just fine. And I'm hooked, baby.
Well, there you go, guys. That is my group, Dynasty, and I just posted it, and I said, we had fun those days. Those days are gone, but we had a really good time back then, and just enjoying the music and you know, just enjoying life, man, and thank God for the opportunity that Dick Griffey gave all of us to get in there and do what we do and enjoy it and benefit from it. And so so we're grateful to Solar, to say the least. And I just want to, I'm speaking on behalf of my group, Dynasty. Anyway, Don, we got about, let me see, that was Dynasty. Before that, I had Lakeside, Real Love. Yeah. Before that, I played Real Love by Lakeside, a beautiful ballad. Oh, my goodness. Otis Stokes with that falsetto is just amazing. And then prior to that, the first song on the block was Midnight Star and Wet My Whistle. What a great song. I love that song. When it first came out, I was like, oh, that's a hit right there. So, but anyway, man, so guys, we want to thank you again for tuning in today and blessing us. And we pray that you all have a wonderful and blessed and beautiful weekend, rest of your weekend, as we're kicking the Solar Weekend off here on Solar Records Radio. Tomorrow, yes, Solar indeed. Wants to dance. And so we're just doing some cardio tomorrow, hours straight of just up-temples, all up-temple jams, just coming at you full steam ahead. So tune in and hang out with me if you want to work out a little bit. You know, for hours straight, get that cardio going. Woo! That's a good little workout. And then on Sunday, praise and worship as we celebrate our King and our Savior. So thank you guys again for everything that you do. Thanks to the whole team of Solar Records Radio, Greg, Astrid, Don, T. Meyer, and myself, and Gayla, and Gayla, and Phoenix, you know, to everybody that, you know, that really blesses this station. We are so grateful for all of you guys. And so anyway, Don, anything in closing that you might want to share?
Yeah, man. First of all, the question that was asked to me, what was like my favorite LA and Babyface produced song.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the listeners I wanted to go ahead and, because it took me a minute to think about it, man, but I really don't have a favorite. But one that kind of sticks out is pretty much everything from Bobby Brown's Don't Be Cruel album. To Don't Be Cruel, to Roni, to Rock With Ya, and of course, you know, what they did, you know, for Pebbles and oh my, oh, even Jermaine Jackson had an album on the Face Records. His stuff was nice back in the early 90s. So it was a lot of great music in LA. And of course, you know, Tevin Campbell, Can We Talk? You know, you can't go wrong with that, you know?
Right,
but
right,
there's
right.
a lot of great music. But I did have a question for you, man. Remember that we kind of trolled each other a couple of weeks ago, and we were like, we wanted to play two funk songs from me and two funk songs from you? And one
right,
of the
right,
last
right.
songs I played was The Whispers Tonight. And I want to request that because the drummer on that song was just amazing, man. You gotta hook me up with him. You gotta hook me. I gotta shake his hand, man.
And also the writer on that song was amazing, Jerry Knight, who passed away, my really close friend. And
Jerry Knight,
he wrote that song. He you know, and we were at Almo Irving over at A&M Records at that time together. And Jerry Knight was a guitar player for what's the group? Ray Parker Jr.'s group.
Radio,
right. And so he was the guitar player for them and keyboard player and writer as well. And so much love to Jerry Knight. And thank you, Don. I will play your song with your drummer, and I will introduce you to him in person.
Yeah, shout out to the drummer for the Whisper song on tonight, man. I love that drummer, man.
All right, guys. Well, many blessings to all you guys, and we're going to close out with The Whispers, and this is called Tonight on Soul Eye Records Radio. Good night, everyone, and God bless you.
Good night.
All right, God.
Yeah.